at night.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other small batch boozy news from France and beyond. So this month, I've dragged a friend of mine into the studio, Julien Mingros, and he is the founder of Balbine, which is they're makers of artisanal cocktails and spirits. And I have known him for a while because he started a blog back in the day early on when right after I started mine. So I think I've been familiar with you from online presence for nearly a decade now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So welcome to the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Forrest. Thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. So first of all, can you tell the listeners, I think that it's kind of joyfully French, the inspiration for the name. Can you tell the listeners, a little bit more about what it means, Balbine?
Yes, Balbine, it's a French name. It's even a first name. When I searched for the name of the company, I was looking for a French name, but that can be pronounced in all the languages and which evokes emotion and intimacy. I found it in a French cocktail book called L'Heure du Cocktail, The Cocktail Hour, and published in 1925. And the two authors, Marcel Requin and Lucien Farnoux-Renault, talked to Balbine, a young woman of this period. She's representative of this time, carefree and fond of elixir, joyful, free, French. And for information, a young publishing house, Corpse Reviver, the cocktail, just released the book with a graphic and modern layout.
Okay, great. Well, and I also just think, you know, you're saying something about joyful and carefree. I do think, and also pronounceable in English, it's fun to say, Balbine, it's very enjoyable. So, nice pick.
Thank you.
So, do you want to tell us a little bit about you? So, you make a craft gin, and just for the listeners, craft gets thrown around a lot, but we really are talking about something that Julien has put some heart and soul and a lot of work into. So, you know, it really truly is a craft gin. You've got gin, and you've got an Old Tom style gin. So can you tell us a little bit about each of them?
Okay. I am a big fan of gin, all of it. I collect bottles since several years, and I have a big cabinet with all of the bottles. And some people knew me by Extraterrien, a blog that I launched in 2009. And at that time, I wanted to talk only about gin. So it's complicated. Only my mom would have read, I think. When I launch Balbine Spirits, I would like to make bottle cocktails. We are talking to talk after that. And the creation has been very long. So people asked me when I was going to throw a gin, but why launch a new gin? The supply is so big with a new extravagant botanical. Why not? But consumer cannot keep up with all the new brands. The idea of coloring the spirit without distorting the taste came, and the positioning of Balbine Spirits, it's to help people to have immediately a good and great moments of cocktails. And between 80 or 90% of the consumption of gin is with tonic. But it's too colorless product, so it's an ugly drink. And for me, drink and ugly, it's not possible. The color is brewed by the hibiscus maceration. Now you can have at once a fun, good and greedy cocktails. But in tasting, I would like to have a classical gin with an extra dry flower touch. Very good in gin tonic, but also in dry martini or Negroni, where creativity takes you. The Old Tom gin is a request for a bartender friend, and he was right. In cocktail, it's very, very good. The Martinez is just awesome. For your listener, who don't know what is it, Altom gin. It's an old recipe, sweeter than the classical. During the Prohibition in England in the 18th century, people drank the gin like that because the quality is so awful that sugar can hide the low quality.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, you know, you had touched on it when you were saying there are so many gins on offer, so many brands. So are there specific things that you think make Balbine gin stand out? You talked about it a little bit, the color, it brings something fun to the cocktail. Is there anything else that you think that it adds to the gin market?
Do you know how French gin brands exist now?
How many? Did you say, do I know how many?
70.
70. I was not going to guess that. Back in the day, I knew about three when, you know, I was starting to blog, and there probably were only about three or four, but 70. 70.
2 years
shocking.
Ago, I made a conference at France Quintessence. Mm-hmm. We are around 25 or 30 brands. In 2 years, we passed to 70. So crazy. Imagine all over the world, the number of new gins, it's so crazy.
I don't even have to imagine. I hear and see about them all the time. I mean, I'm sure I don't know them all, but it is crazy. So, that actually leads to something else I wanted to talk to you about. As far as French gins go, do you think there's anything that we can generalize about French gins where we could say French gins adhere to a particular style, or, you know, French gins are more floral or more terroir driven? Is there anything else, anything that you can find to describe French gin in general?
It's a good question. I don't think there is a French taste, but we have a huge savoir-faire of in spirits or eau de vie elaboration. French gins stay true gins with juniper berries, not pretty good. We have good copper stills. And we often forget its importance, but it gives the spine to more the spine to the spirits. Mm-hmm. And today, all over the world, the local origin is put forward. I think in particular Canada, Japan, Ireland, France is in the same category. US is more creative, but sometimes varied too much. Spain, it's more disparate. And Great Britain and Scotland try to keep the ship on the road.
Straight and narrow, yeah.
Because the gin regulation is pretty vague. And today you can find product with gin on the label because it's trendy.
Yeah.
A big, major company just launched a gin without alcohol. I don't know how it's possible. But
interesting.
Gin... it's so trendy that we launch a lot of product. French gin, it's very, very classical with a local botanical to exprime the terroir. Mm-hmm. Of the
to
of
express
the
terroir.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's a little bit about French gin. What do you think? I know we prepared a little bit for some questions and I didn't say ahead of time I was going to talk about this, but why do you think it's taken so long for the French to come around to gin? I mean, look at, you know, the neighbor Spain, the biggest gin market ever, just across the pond. You've got the UK, they're, you know, gin all over the place. And really, France hasn't, obviously they have now with 70 different gins, but still it's... not something that everybody's drinking all the time. We're seeing this push for the gin to and gin tonic more often. But why have they, in recent history, just sort of been uninterested in gin?
In spirits, we are always late in France.
Mm-hmm.
Because even we have a good country for gastronomy, we are also a good market for supermarket.
Right.
And when we are in Germany, you are a supermarket for food, a supermarket for beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But in France, for all the product you can find in one place. So the supermarket kept a lot of products and people buy in this place, mm-hmm. not in the wine shop or other. So it's more complicated to launch premium and to launch new direction and new trends.
Right. So people's tastes are dictated by what the large supermarkets are selling and making available for them. I've never thought about it that way, but that makes sense. So we know you love gin and you've got a huge collection. How many bottles do you have at home?
130.
130. Wow. I'm impressed. I'll have to come over and help you work through those. I'll leave. You only have about 100 left. So going from a gin lover to a gin maker, what have you learned about gin, or what has surprised you now that that you've made your own that you didn't know before when you just liked to drink it?
It's very complicated to answer because I tasted a lot of gin before with Extra Terrien. But the benchmark was quite accurate. Even I didn't want to duplicate gin already done, but I perfected my palate on several botanical, which I recognize now more easily. And beyond juniper berries, you can put in the still almost everything. And find the alchemy is a very good journey. At the beginning, the hibiscus was here only for the color, but we discovered that with a flash maceration, the dried flower note is very, very good, was very, very good, and well balanced with juniper, coriander, or ginger.
Okay. Can you explain to the listeners what you mean by flash maceration?
Only few hours, mm-hmm. Because if it's longer...
It gets a little bitter. Letting the flower stay longer in the product extracts more bitterness from the flower.
Yes.
So, okay. And do you have any particular favorite botanicals?
I love coriander, mm-hmm. and green cardamom. Mm-hmm. Personally, I love black cardamom, but not in the gin, because we put in old fashioned because it's a dried and wood taste, and it's very, very interesting.
Nice. I like the sound of that.
It's complicated to love. Extravagant botanical, because we must to taste in the alembic and in the still, and some still work with the botanical, and other don't work. So it's gin is interesting for that. It's it's always a discovery.
Right. So what you're saying is, depending on if you're using a column still or a pot still, it will affect how the botanical works in the gin.
And the alchemy with other botanicals.
Okay. Interesting. So that's a little bit about the gin. Let's talk about your bottled cocktails. So you've taken five classics, Manhattan, Negroni, Old Fashioned, Boulevardier, and the Americano. What made you choose those five?
Because it's all these recipes are ranked in the top 50 favorite cocktails. Old Fashioned in first position, Negroni second, Manhattan in fourth, Boulevardier 13th, and Americano 32nd.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was important to propose the classics. Bottle cocktails, it's quite a new range in the spirits market, especially in France. So much to start with the right basics.
But you didn't do a martini.
Not yet.
Okay, I'll be waiting. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about how you go about composing these bottled cocktails? How do you make them? What can you tell us about that?
And making French spirits, it's very, very important for me. We could even say Nouvelle Aquitaine production, donc southwest in France. At the beginning, my research, I asked to several French brands if I can buy liquids. Some respond positively, in fact, not much. Some only delivered in bottles. Imagine 1,000 liters in bottles. Mm. The time to empty them, the cost of shipping, the useless carbon footprint. It's a polite way of telling
saying,
me
never
no.
mind, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or something so, not so polite, yeah.
I have to make a step aside and... Before working in advertising agencies, I have a degree in wine and spirits obtained in Saint-Emilion. And I remember my lessons, especially how to make vermouth or bitter, wine, alcohol, and botanicals. I spent my childhood holidays in Charente-Maritime, and Pinot de Charente was never far. Pinot is elaborated with in adding cognac to grape must during fermentation. Cognac is so better than a lambda alcohol. So I went to search of finding how I can put botanicals in Pinot de Charente to recreate the taste of the cocktail. Mm-hmm. Negroni with gin, old fashioned, Manhattan, Boulevardier with whiskey or with eau de vie de malt. Just out of the still, to have the crisp taste of the mm-hmm. of the malt, it's very very interesting. And we tasted with the bartender, with a perfume nose. Imagine when you go to the perfume nose studio with 600 fragrances, it's just awesome to taste and taste and taste again.
Right. So you're taking the base spirit and you're finding the botanicals to add to it to create the flavor of the cocktail.
Yep.
Okay. So just so the listeners understand, this isn't a matter of, you know, he's taking Campari and mixing it with gin and mixing it with sweet vermouth to make a Negroni. You're taking gin and you're adding botanicals that make it taste like a Negroni. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's really creating French cocktails. This isn't just bottled cocktails, but these are French creations with classic cocktails, but a French version, I guess, maybe
yes.
You'd say that.
Today, all over the world, Balbin Spirit is the only brand to offer this method of elaboration to make bottle cocktails.
That's very interesting. I don't want to disagree, but didn't they, well, it's not the same, but didn't they, a couple of years ago for... Paris Cocktail Week, didn't
yes.
they put out the Negroni that was similar? It was distilled in a way to taste like a Negroni, the bottled Negroni.
Yes, I think
it's not something that's bottled and sold regularly. So you are definitely the only one that I know of doing that.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt like, huh, maybe there's something interesting here. I'm seeing, you know, a couple people going down that road now. So I think it's really interesting. And also for the listeners, it's been a little bit, but I have tasted all the products and I can give them my approval and big thumbs up. So I think that the hard work and all the noses and all the tasting has paid off.
What is your favorite? Boulevardier?
Was it the Boulevardier?
Yeah.
I can't remember now. It's been a while. I don't know if it was I'm looking at them now. Boulevard, I think it might have been. I also think I really liked the Americano though. I also was really a big fan of the Old Tom Gin, which it's a style that I don't drink often, but I really, really liked it. So, yes, very much. You're gonna add some more cocktails soon to the line?
We work on it, but mm-hmm. it's too early to talk about the future recipe, because to create the new flavor, it's very very long.
Yeah.
Manhattan and old fashioned takes 18 months. So it's
18 months, like
yes.
1 year and a half.
Yes.
And that was to create those two. It took 18 months.
Yes, because we have 1 month of maceration.
Mm-hmm.
So we taste. We're waiting 1 month. We taste. And we change the recipe with a little bit more botanicals or etc.
Wow, that's a long time. I hope you're working on a martini. In Paris, I feel like we're seeing more ways for people to stay home and drink. You know, there's the guys at Nighthawks. I love those guys. They're really nice and they'll deliver really good cocktails to your door. There's a lot of other services that deliver the, like, kit apéro, which are just sort of random
yeah.
little collections to make a mojito or something at home. Not quite as high class as some, like, the Nighthawks one. there are, I feel like there are other ways that people are drinking at home. People are just reading about it more, listening about it more. There's more bottle shops. There's, you know, it's just becoming more prevalent. So why do you think that maybe Parisians are looking more for having cocktails at home as opposed to, I mean, beer and wine worked really well for a very long time. So what's been the change?
But unfortunately, we can't go out every day. I would like, but it's impossible. And cocooning is fancy. For beer and wine, it's easy to buy good beers or good wine, even in supermarket. For cocktails, it's more complicated. The latest study of Whiskey Live says that 50% of French people drink cocktails. They discover them in bars and would like to drink at home. Private masterclasses are also trendy. But once back home, there is always a problem. Not the good ingredients or the right materials.
Yeah, or ice is an issue. I mean, there's not a lot of ice in French homes.
What is the recipe already? Or sometimes just laziness. But they still want to drink cocktail without complicating their lives. And with our bottle cocktails, one glass, one ice cube, one part of cocktail, it's ready. Aperitif can start immediately.
Nice. Have you had the opportunity to present Balbine, the gin, or the bottled cocktails outside of France?
As soon as I can, I make it. At Vinexpo show, we met a lot of people, Texans, Belgian, even a Swedish guy who had a call of tender in progress in this country. We continue to exchange after the show, but in the end, the condition is not very interesting. At Francatessence, a few days ago, I began a discussion with Belgian, and we make a new call tomorrow.
So, good.
It's very important to work on export, but it's a special organization, and it will be possible very soon once the fundraising will be finalized.
Yeah, and I also think you can't discount the French allure of your product, you know, especially if you're exporting to someplace like the U.S. You know, for example, I think Saint-Germain was very popular in the U.S., before it was popular here, because the Americans, they love that Frenchy kind of stuff.
Made in France, it's a very, very good...
It is. And you know, ideally, I mean, there's a lot of bad things made in France, but, you know, I think that is it's a positive thing. The French have a really solid gastronomic history and, you know, in general, good taste. So maybe they're a little slow to the cocktails, but I think that that's a positive thing when it's made in France. You have been familiar with the cocktail and spirit scene here in Paris for as long as I have. So what do you think are the biggest changes that you've noticed since maybe when you started drinking gin and blogging 10 years ago to now?
10 years ago, we didn't know that the cocktail scene or cocktail in general thing was going to explode like that in France. It's crazy, but very, very good. And today the supply is stratospheric, but I like that.
It's gone mainstream. It's not just the little niche hobby that we had. Now it's big time.
And for every occasion, you have bar to meet your expectation. It's very, very good for that. Speakeasy still works for people who want to stay with each other or for new consumers. We discover the concept.
Yeah.
But today we are a lot of bars more opened with beer, wine, and food. And good for that because people are always scary about cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
They're wines.
Intimidating.
Yeah,
I don't know what to order. It is. It's scary.
They know that if they order a mojito, they will be fired of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing about that. But they take a beer at the beginning, and after that, they can be tempted by a cocktail.
Yeah.
So it's good for that.
Yeah, I do think it's good for that. One thing I also think is good, I think it's good that we're opening up a little bit more. When we first were seeing the speakeasy-style bars and the first cocktail bars that started here, notably ECC, and they weren't serving wine, and they might have had one bottled beer, I can't remember. Now you see these bars that are, you know, the cocktail bars, now they're incorporating craft beer, natural wines. And I think that's a positive thing. I don't think that takes away from cocktails. I think that underlines it supports the idea that these are now an integral part of our bar and drinking experience. These aren't just a kind of a niche product that you go to one particular bar to find. Yeah. These are part of our drinking, part of our, you know, going out, part of our bar experience overall. So I think that's been a really positive thing for Parisian nightlife and drinking life. By the way, is Balbine in any bars?
More and more, we work on it. Balbine Spirits, Bordelaise, it's from Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. So a lot of bar in Bordeaux have the bottles, but in Paris, it's the beginning.
We'll get there. Bars, if you're listening, it's a great product. Is there anything else that you want to tell the listeners about Balbine?
I don't know. The famous quote of Stevenson, the most important, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Mm-hmm. And it's quite true because the journey never stops. Changing direction, it takes several at the time. I don't know the destination, and I don't want to know the destination. And Spinoza has another quote theorizes that pleasure is in difficulty. I take a lot of pleasure.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you do. You deserve to take a lot of pleasure. You've been working hard on this, and I think that you deserve that. So if listeners want to read more about you or follow you or... just find out more. They want to stalk you. Where can they find you online?
Instagram. It's the one and only. It's a better the better way. Our website. We have a Twitter account, but not very exploit very well. And we don't have a Facebook account because the reach is too low to work on it.
Yeah. Well, we will put links for the listeners to your website and your Instagram and your Twitter for those of you out there who are still tweeting away, so they can find you in all different places. So I think that's about it. I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you for it.
And I think you put something in the fridge. I expect to taste that after we wrap this up. So that is a wrap for this month's episode. If you are looking for more Cocktail Talk between shows, head to our site, www.52martinis.com. And if you'd like to carry me around in your pocket, download our iOS app, which is called Paris Cocktails. And it's a guide to Paris's best cocktail bars. It helps you find the really cool spots right next to you when you're just standing around on a street corner wondering, where can I drink right now? And also there's kind of tips and suggested drinks in there. So of course, I highly recommend that you download that. And it's free. We keep threatening to start making it a paid app, but it's not yet. So hurry up before we do. And as always, thanks to Julian for coming down. I'll put some info about him in the notes so you can find out more. Always thanks to World Radio Paris for editing, and especially to Thomas, my producer, who has his own show called Uni Talks. We'll put a link to that. Emily Dilling of Perry Paysan for show notes and web assistance. Sun Little for our music. Links to all those people will be in the show notes as well. As usual, I remind you to drink responsibly, and I also remind you to go over to iTunes and leave me a nice little review so I know people are actually listening and I'm not just sitting here talking to me, Julian, and Thomas. I'd like to know that you're out there, and I'd like to know what you think, even if it's not so great. Tell me how we can make this show better for you. And I think that's about it. So until next month, cheers. Shiver by